Today's daf is Me'ila daf chaf aleph. We left off at the Mishnah on the We left off at the Mishnah on the bottom of daf Yutes Amud Beis. Today's shiur is once again sponsored anonymously to Zchus Gemar Chasima Tova for all of BKNW and Lizecher Nishmas Ari Fold, whose yard site was yesterday. So yesterday's shiur was supposed to be sponsored L'Zecher Nishmas Ari Fold. So both are L'Zecher Nishmas Ari Fold Hashem Yikom Domo. The Neshama should have an Aliyah. And it's also once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. So we left off at the Mishnah on the bottom of Yutas and Beis. And the Mishnah is going to discuss Mi'ila rules for a Gizbar, the guy who's in charge of all of the money of Hegdish. So at what point is he in violation of Mi'ila? He's supposed to be dealing with Hegdish items. And it's also going to talk about Tziruf for Mi'ila, which is a topic that we've already discussed, combining different Hana'os and Achilos in terms of the Yisr Mi'ila. The Gemara is then going to talk about Mi'ila on Mechubar Lekarka, and whether building materials are considered to be subject to Mi'ila, whether they are considered Mechubar Lekarka or not. And then in the new parak at the bottom of Chaf Amud Aleph, the Mishnah is going to talk about Shlichus for Mi'ila, and whether who violates Mi'ila when the Shliach does exactly as you told him to. What if the Shliach does a little bit very differently than he told him to? What if he does a little differently than he told him to? So whether there's Shlichus for Mi'ila. Then the Gemara on Amud Beis is going to discuss whether an item that a Shliach would have to double check with you about is considered to be a fulfillment of that that shlichus, is considered to be within the category. Meaning you tell someone, go buy me some meat, and he can't find any beef, but he finds chicken, or he finds fish. So that would be the kind of thing he'd have to call and say, wait a second, are you okay if I bring back chicken? So do we assume that that's included in the shlichus, and that's going to be nogea to ilchus nedarim as well? Do we assume that it's included in the laws of, in the category of what the neder was made about? So let's begin at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, not al even or korish al agdash. If the gizbar, the Gemara is going to say it has to be talking about the gizbar. If the gizbar takes a stone or a beam that belongs to agdash, he thought it was his, so he takes it to use it, but he hasn't used it yet. He's just taken it. Hareze lo ma'al. Just by taking it, he has not yet violated mi'ila, because he's allowed to be taking things shal agdash. He's just not allowed to be using them for his own benefit. So by moving it around within his house without using it, it's still considered to be berushos agdash. He has not been motzi it mirushos hagdish. But nisan lechaverov, the gizbar then takes that stone or that beam and he gives it as a matana to somebody else. Hu ma'al, the gizbar is ma'al as soon as the other person is kona it, because by being nosein lechavero, he's being motzi it mirushos hagdish lirushos chulin. But vechavero lo ma'al, the guy that receives it is not in violation of mi'ila, because kachet bedekabayis, there's no din of ma'al achar ma'al. Only one, you can only commit mi'ila once on it, because once a mi'ila is committed, it is now chulin, and therefore the next person to try to commit mi'ila on it is not committing mi'ila, because, well, there's no such thing as trying to commit. The next person that inadvertently commits mi'ila on it is not in violation of mi'ila, because it's already chulin from the time the first guy committed mi'ila. So it's the gizbar who's in violation of mi'ila when he gives it to chavero. Chavero is not in violation of mi'ila. But if the gizbar takes this beam or this rock and b'na'a b'soch beso, he builds it into his home, hareze lo ma'al ad sheyodur tachteha b'shavapruta. He's only going to be in violation of mi'ila when he gets a shavapruta worth of hana'a from that beam, from that rock, as part of his house. And the Gemara is going to explain why that is. Why not say that as soon as he builds it into his house, that that's enough of a shinoi, that that's considered to be, that he was motzi mirushal sagdish? So we'll explain that in the Gemara. Not al pruta shal hagdish. So now a different case. What if the gizbar did not take a rock, he did not take a beam, he took money, he took a pruta that he's in charge of, that belongs to hagdish, and he took it with the intention to use it for himself, hareze lo ma'al. He has not yet violated mi'ila, because he has not been motzi it mirushos hegdish. But nesan el chaveiro, if he then gives that pruta as a matana to somebody else, Who ma'al? The chaver lo ma'al. The gizbar is in violation of me'ila by giving it to somebody else. He has now been motzi in rishus hegdish, lirishus chulin. But the guy who gave it to is not in violation of me'ila because it's already chulin. And once it's already chulin, it's no longer going to be subject to me'ila. So the achronim discuss over here. Tos Yantif raises the question: what's the chiddush of this whole line of the Mishnah? Meaning, we just learned the exact same halacha when it comes to taking a rock or taking a beam. So why would I think it's any different when it comes to taking money that belongs to Hagdish? It's all exactly the same rules. So the Rashash writes that the Ikr Chiddush over here about the Pruta is not anything we've said yet. It is the next line of the Mishnah, that if you then use that money to give to a bathhouse attendant, even though you haven't yet bathed, you're in violation of Me'ila. And the Chiddush of talking about a case of an Evan or a Korah is to tell me the din of building it, that when you built it into your house, you have not yet violated Me'ila until you got a Shavu Pruta worth of Hana'a from it. That's how they're Mitari. It's why it is that we need a case of Pruta Shal Hakdish. Other Achronim, however, are Mitari differently, that the Korah and the Evan are themselves meant to be used for Hagdish, and therefore they have a Kedusha Chamura more so than money. Money, you're never going to use that money in the actual Beis HaMikdash. You're going to use that money to purchase things that you will then use for the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore the Kedusha of the money is more of a Kedusha Kala as opposed to the Kedusha of the Korah, which is more of a Kedusha Chamura, and therefore one might have said that something that has a Kedusha Chamura is not Yotzei L'chulin so easily, and therefore by taking a Korah it's not Yotzei L'chulin, but I would have thought just by the Gizbar taking the Pruta it's already Yotzei L'chulin, because after all it's a Kedusha Kala, maybe it should be more vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Or on the flip side, some of the Achronim say maybe I would have thought the opposite, that which has a Kedusha Chamura is very vulnerable because of its elevated level of Kedusha. So that's why we need both cases of the Pruta as well as the original case of the Evan and the Korah. But now continuing in the case of the Pruta, so the Gizbar takes the Pruta, nothing has happened yet, he has not yet violated Me'ila. Let's say instead of giving it to his friend, which would be a blatant violation of Me'ila, Nisana Labalan, he gives it to a bathhouse attendant who's not giving him a product in return, he's giving him a service in return, that he now gets to use this bathhouse. So Afal Pishal Lo rachatz ma'al. Even though you have not yet taken him up on that service, you have not yet actually bathed, the gizbar is in violation of me'ila as soon as he gives it to the attendant, because when he gives that pruta, the bala now owes him this service, and the gizbar is not able to back out anymore. It's already paid for. He can't ask for his money back. So the halacha is that as soon as the bala is zocha in the money and it's irretrievable, something that he's not never going to have to give back, that's going to be a violation of Me'ila. Shu'omer lo, harei amerchatz pesuach v'necha, he kanis ruchotz, because the balan can say to the gizbar, look, bathhouse is ready for you whenever you want, but the money I'm keeping because you've already given it to me. So at that point, it's already a violation of Me'ila. So that is one halacha of the Mishnah. So one halacha is about a gizbar taking something that belongs to Hagdish. Taking it alone is not Me'ila. It's only when he transfers it to somebody else that it's going to become Me'ila. So now a second halacha, and this is about siruf, and we've discussed this already. Achilaso v'achilas chavero. Someone takes food from Hegdish that's worth a shavu pruta, and he eats half of it, and he gives the other half to somebody else to eat. Hanayaso v'anayas chavero. He takes a shavu pruta worth of something from Hegdish, he gets hana'a of a chatzi pruta, and gives a chatzi pruta for someone else to get hana'a from. Achilaso v'anayas chavero. He eats half a pruta worth of it and gives hana'a of half a pruta to someone else. Hanayaso va'achilas chavero. He gets hana'a of half a pruta and gives someone else half a pruta to eat. Mitzdarfin. So these achilos and hana'os are mitzdarf with each other in order to be mechayiv him for mi'ila, the keren, the chomesh, the asham mi'ilos, va'filu lizman meruba. And even if it's over a prolonged period of time, that he was ochel or nena chati shir today, and then he's ochel or he's machil or mahana chavero a chati shir tomorrow or in a few days from now. And as long as it was behelim echad, as long as he didn't realize in between that it was hegdish, so that's still going to be one act of me'ila. They're all mitzvahed with each other as a single act of me'ila. So we already learned a couple of days ago that we darshan this from the pasuk, or yesterday we got to timol ma'al, that you're chayva me'ila, no matter how it is that you're mo'el, even if it's not all done in a single ma'isa, and it's not all done by a single person. It's over an extended period of time, and it's by different people. Timol ma'al mikol makom, that it's still going to be considered a single violation of me'ila. So now the Gemara discusses, going back on the first part of the Mishnah, we said that if a person takes an Evan or a Korah, a Gizbar, well, it didn't say a Gizbar in the Mishnah, it said a person takes an Evan or a Korah, Shal Hagdish, he has not yet violated Me'ilah, so says Mara, Mishnah, who Mishnah, Chavero? Well, wait a second, why if I take an Evan or a Korah of Hagdish, I'm not a violation of Me'ilah, so the second I give it to somebody else, it is a violation of Me'ilah, neither of us have used it yet, so why would it matter whether I took it or I gave it to somebody else? Well, so says Mara, Mishmuel, but Gizbar, Masurus, Laskinan. Now, that's the whole point, that the Mishnah is talking about not just anybody, it's the Gizbar. So when the Gizbar takes it, he hasn't done anything. He hasn't been known to the Rishus Hagdish, because Rishuso is Rishus Hagdish. He's the one that's in charge of Hagdish. And that's why when he gives it the Chavero, that's considered to be taking it out of Rishus Hagdish. So that's the assumption of the Mishnah. Then we said, B'na B'soch Beso, Eino Chayiv, that if he builds it into his house, he's only going to be Chayiv once he gets a Shavar Pruta's worth of Hana'ah from it. Meaning, taking that beam and using it in his home is not a violation of Me'ilah. It's only when he gets a Shavar Pruta's worth of Hana'ah from it that it's going to be a violation of Me'ilah. So, Lama Li Achi Yadur Tachteha, why do you have to wait till he lives under it and gets a Shavar Pruta's worth of Hana'ah from it? Given the Shanya Ma'al. Shouldn't we say that as soon as he's been Mishana it by cutting it down to size to fit into his house, or even if he didn't have to cut it down to size, just by cementing it into his house and attaching it to the binyan, that should already be a Mi'ila. That's already being Motziit. Mirashil Sagdish. Why do you have to wait for a Shavar Pruta worth of Ana'ah? Samarav, Kigon Shinichal Piaruba. Rav says, you're right. That would be enough to violate Mi'ila, to build it into your house, to cut it down to size, to fit your house. That would be Mi'ila. We're talking about a case where you didn't do any of those things. You didn't cement it in, you didn't cut it down, you just covered an opening with it. You just stuck it into an opening without changing it at all. So since you didn't do any shinoi by placing it there, it's not a violation of Me'ilah until you actually use it, until you get a Shavar Pruta worth of Hana'ah from it. How do you get a Shavar Pruta worth of Hana'ah from it? It rains that day, and it's protecting something that from the rain. The rain would have ruined whatever is underneath this beam, and now the rain is not ruining what's underneath the beam, so you're getting a Shavar Pruta's worth of Hana'ah from that beam. That's the case of the Mishnah. But Eino Chinami, if you cemented it into your house, or you cut the beam down to size, Eino Chinami, that would already constitute a violation of Mi'ila. So says Gemara, V'kevan debanila mi'as ma'al. So we are assuming that once you build it into your house, it's a violation of Mi'ila, even though by building it into your house, it's becoming mechubar lekarka. So lema maseyei leil rav. Maybe this is a raya to rav. Dama rav hamishtach velabayis asaro. That if a person bows to a house, he has asur that house bahana'a, meaning he's made it into an avodah zarah. Meaning just like by mi'ila, there's a din that there's no mi'ila b'mechubar lekarka. By avodah zarah, there's also a din that there's no avodah zarah b'mechubar lekarka. So Eloheim Harim v'loa harim Eloheim. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah is a drasha that their gods are on the mountaintops, but the mountains themselves can't be their gods. Even if they're bowing to the mountain, they're so impressed by the mountain that they worship the mountain does not become Avodah Zarah. Otherwise every mountain in Eretz Yisrael would be Avodah Zarah. We'd have major problems. The mountain does not become Avodah Zarah. That which is Mechubar Lekarka does not become Avodah Zarah. So the question is a house considered to be mechubar lekarka. So we assume that the rules of Me'ila and the rules of Avodah Zarah are going to be the same as far as the definition of mechubar lekarka. So our Mishnah seems to be assuming that when you build a beam into your house, that's Me'ila, so apparently it's not called mechubar lekarka. So that aligns with what Rav says in Avodah Zarah, that if you're mishtachav elabayis, that's considered to be asar ba'anah, because it's not considered to be mechubar lekarka. So Rav holds that that which is talush min hakarka, and then you are mechaberit, as far as Avodah Zarah is concerned, it's considered talush. And this house, before you built it, all the materials were talush min hakarka. So when you bow to it, it becomes asar. And therefore, our Mishnah assumes the same, that you have these building materials that were talush min hakarka, that belong to Hagdish, you are mechaberit lekarka, it is not, it's considered me'ila, because it's still considered that which is talush. So Rav Acha, Breid Ravika, the Gemara rejects this. Nah, you can't bring a raya from Rav. Hana, and you're saying, nah, you must read Torah. Really, that which is talush, and then you attach it to the ground, is considered mechubar lekarka. And therefore, if you're mishtach ve'lebayis, you do not aser the bayis against Rav. Aye, why is the Gizbar in violation of Me'ila when he attaches his beam into his house? Because by Me'ila, the Torah asks any Hana'ah near Slayinayim. And adding on to a binyan of a house is an obvious thing. A person makes an extension on the house. It's an obvious benefit even before the Malacha is totally finished and it's totally attached. And therefore, he's in violation of Me'ila as soon as it's near Slayinayim, as soon as you see that he's using it in binyan, even if he hasn't actually been Mechaber Lekarka. But Erechinami, once he's Mechaber Lekarka, it has a full din of Mechubar. So says Gemara, I'll bring you a raya to Rav from a brisa. If a person lives in a hektish house, as soon as he gets hana from it of a shavuot, he's in violation of Me'ila. Why? Because apparently, even after it's a house, it's considered to be talush, and that's why you're able to violate Me'ila. So I'm Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish rejects that raya. Even according to this brisa, the building materials are considered to be mechubar lekarka once they are made into a house. Aye, why is it subject to Me'ila then when you live in a house that belongs to Hagdish? The Bryce is talking about a case where you were makdish all of these stones and all of these beams, and then you built a house out of it. So since at the time of being makdish them, these avanim were definitely not mechubar, so the din me'ila becomes operative on them, and it doesn't matter when you actually use them. Even if they've become mechubar by the time you use them, the din me'ila was already chal on these items because they were talush at that time. Aval, b'no'u, b'sofikdish, if you were to build a house and then be makdish the house after it's already built, my, what's the din? Lo ma'al. It's not subject to me'ila because that's considered mechubar lekarka. So for Frank Gemara, if that's the case, my irya rahit v'tani hadar b'bayis shal ma'ara lo ma'al, why does the Tana go on to say, oh, you want an example of living in a structure that's not a violation of me'ila? If you live in a cave, you live in a natural structure that's built into a mountain or something. Well, according to what we're saying, lema, we could have a better example. We should have said a better example of living in a structure that's not subject to mila. Dar b'bayis shel avanim shebenol b'sof hikdisho lo ma'al. Talk about living in a normal house, but you only were makdish it after you already built it. So that also would be mi'ilo according to what we're saying. From the fact that the Tana does not give that example of a p'tur from mi'ila, you see that he holds that there's no such chilek whether you were makdish it before you built it or makdish it after you built it. And even if you're only makdish it after you built it, it has a din of talush, which is exactly what Rav said, that when you're mishtach ve'labayis, it becomes asar ba'anah as an avodah zarah because it has a din of talush. So the Gemara says, nah, not a good diuk. Amri hapsikalei halo psikalei. You can't make a diuk just from the fact that it chose to give an example of a cave not being a violation of me'ila, that every case of a house is a violation of me'ila. The Bryce was trying to give very stark examples that are foolproof, that always work. So a case of a cave is always not going to be me'ila, because that was there, misheshes me'breshes. But a case of a house is iffy. It depends. When were you makdish those
materials before you built the house or after. So therefore we're staying away from a case that involves further detail that you then have to ask, oh, when exactly were you makdish those materials? So Hadralach, and then we now begin the sixth parak of Maseches Me'ilah. So says the Mishnah, Hashliach Shasa Shlichus, if a Shliach did what you asked him to do, Balabais Ma'al, then the Mishaleach is in violation of Me'ilah. Meaning I have an item of Hegdish, I ask you to go use that item of Hegdish to be Motzi, that item of Hegdish, and you just follow the instructions. So even though normally speaking, ain shliach l'dvar aveira, and it is the shaliach that's chayev and not the mishaleach, mi'ila is an exception to that rule. Lo asa shlichuso, but if the shliach didn't do as instructed, I told him to violate mi'ila, but he didn't do exactly like I told him to, then ashliach ma'al, he violated mi'ila differently than I told him to do it, then he is in violation of mi'ila and not the mishaleach himself. So says Mar Ketzad, what's the case of a shliach not doing his shlichus and yes doing the shlichus? So Amar lo, the mishaleach says to the shliach, tein basal la'orchim, give some of this meat to the guests, and the meat is hektish meat, v'nasan lahem kaved, and instead of giving them regular beef, he gives them kaved, he gives them liver, which belongs to hektish, or he says kaved v'nasan lahem basar, hashliach ma'al. Then the shliach is in violation of mi'ila because he's been mishane from what the balabayis told him to do. Amar lo, the balabayis says to the shliach, tein them chaticha chaticha, give each guest one piece of this hektish meat. Again, at the mi'ila is when it's b'shogig, so he didn't tell him hektish, but it happens to be hektish meat. Give him each one piece of this meat, v'hu omer tulushtayim, and the shliach then tells the guests, everyone can take two pieces per customer. And then, v'hem natlu shalosh, each guest decides to take three pieces, so everyone pushes it one step further, kula malu, then they're all in violation of mi'ila. Since the shliach gave one piece included in the two that he told them they could take is the one that the balabais approved of, so that's the balabais' mi'ila, because the shliach did his giving of that one piece. Since the shliach added a second piece, that's the shliach's mi'ila. Since the people took the third piece, that's their own mi'ila. So now says Gemara, man tana dekal milsa demimlech al shliach tarti mili havyan. Who is the tana in our Mishnah that seems to assume that anything that the person would have to double check about when you're asked to bring a certain min and you say, oh, did you mean this? Or is this okay? Is this good enough? That's considered two separate minim. Meaning, something that you would never have to be mamluch about, you would never have to ask about, is obviously considered one min. If someone says, go get me a nice piece of meat, and you don't have to ask what's called meat. You get a nice piece of meat, whether it's a brisket or roast, whatever, it's a nice piece of meat. So that's certainly included in basar. But it sounds from our Mishnah that if you have to ask, oh, did you mean chicken? Did you mean fish? So, or would that be good enough? That's not considered to be in the category of basar, for example. How do I know that? Because the Mishnah says that a shliach is told by the balabais to give basar, and he gives him kaved, or the opposite. It's a violation of mi'ila on the shliach's part because he was mishane from what the balabais had said. And that's because basar and kaved are apparently considered two separate minim. So why are they considered two separate minim? Because that's the kind of thing that he would have to be mimlich about, that he would have to ask whether you meant that. So Amrav Chista delok Rabbi Akiva, and that seems to be against the shita of Rabbi Akiva. Titnan, because Rabbi Akiva holds hanoder mina yarak mutar bidiluin. Rabbi Akiva oser. Tanakama says someone takes a neder not to get hanoah from yarak, he's allowed to have diluin because they're not called yarak in normal lashon bnei adam. They're called pri adama. Whereas Rabbi Akiva asers bidiluin because he holds that lashon bnei adam that's also included in yarak. So the Mishnah over there understands the sheet of Rabbi Akiva that the guy who is sent to purchase yarak and doesn't find regular yarakos is likely to go ask, are you okay with me buying diluim? But that's a hochacha that it's considered to be the same min, and therefore we include them in the same lashon neder. If I would ask that, I don't ask, oh, are you okay? Should I buy a ladder? Should I buy a chair? No, you told me to buy yarakos. I would never ask if you want me. Meaning that's obviously something totally different. The very fact that I would ask, is diluin okay? So that's an indication that it's part of the same min. So that's what we're suggesting, that the lok Rabbi Akiva, that our Mishnah assumes it's tarti mili minu, that something I would have to ask about is a separate min. Rabbi Akiva seems to assume that it's the same min. So Abaye Amar Afilu Tamei Rabbi Akiva. Our Mishnah could even conform to Rabbi Akiva, because even according to Rabbi Akiva, Milo Bayilim Luche, at least you would have to ask, meaning a Shliach who then just goes and buys the Luin without even asking the Baal Bayis, without double checking, that is being Mishana Mishlichuso. So that's certainly a different min. So Shliach who just decides to give Kavit when he was told to give Basar, even if you hold, it could be the same min as far as Neder is concerned, but it's definitely a Shinui from a Shlichus if he never went back to ask about it. So Kiamru Rabban Kamei de Rava, when the Rabban said Abaye's answer to Rava, Amarlu Shapir Kamer Nachmeni, he says that Abaye answered very well. Abaye was called Nachmeni because he grew up in the house of Rabba Bar Nachmeni. So he was referred to as Nachmeni. Okay, so the Gemara now explains who is the Tana that disagrees with Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah in Nedarim, right? The Mishnah in Nedarim had a Tana Kamba that if a person takes a Neder from a Yarak, that he's Mutter Bedaluin. So says the Gemara, Man Tana de Palagalei de Rabbi Akiva, who's the Tana that disagrees with Rabbi Akiva and holds that it's Mutter Bedaluin, that it's not included in the Neder? Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the Tanya, no Demin Abasar, a person takes a Neder not to get Hana from Basar. Asar Bekolmine Basar, he's Asar to eat all sorts of Basar, Basar Bakar, Basar Tzon, Basar Chaya, they're all called Basar. Va Asar Berosh Raglayim, and he's Asar to eat the Rosh or the Raglayim of the Behema, Bakana, Bakave, Rubalev, and he's not allowed to eat the liver or the heart. Or the any of these parts of the animal, the aser b'basar ofos, and he's aser to eat basar ofos, because all of it, someone who's sent to buy basar and doesn't find regular basar, he would be nimlach about these things. Should I go and bring you chicken? Should I go and bring you heart? Should I bring you liver? So whatever shliach would be nimlach alav is bichlal basar. But he's mutter b'basar dagim v'chagavim. But he's mutter b'basar dagim v'chagavim, because apparently he wouldn't be nimlach about such things. Rav Shimon Gamliel matir b'rosh b'raglayim. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, it's not included in the neder. The rosh and the raglayim, bakanu v'kaved v'ofos v'dagim v'chagavim. All of these things a shliach would not bring unless he would have to be nimlach on. And anything that a shliach would have to be nimlach on is not considered to be part of the original lashon of what he was sent to do. And dagim and chagavim are obviously not part of it, because that's not basar at all. Even Tanakama was moda about dagim and chagavim. V'chein ayim Shimon Gamliel omer, and the Brisa just adds something else from Shimon Gamliel. Another thing as far as internal organs of an animal, kirvayim lav basar hein, v'chein lav barinish. That kirvayim, the intestines of an animal, the internal organs of an animal, are not considered basar, and people who eat that are subhuman. That's not normal for a person to eat such a thing, and that's not just stam a rant against such people. There are halachic ramifications for that, as far as, you know, if a person is sent to buy basar and he comes back with kirvayim, I don't know, what's hot dogs, I guess, I don't know, he comes back with all the schmutz that they from the inside of the animal, that's not considered to be basar. Ulatanakama maishna bebasar ofos mishum deragulinish. According to the Tanakama, why is the din of different types of basar any different? He holds by Bisar Ofos, Mishum to Rogilinish, Da'amalosh Chachi Bisra de Chivasa, Vasai Bisra de Tzipra, that it's normal for a person who doesn't find beef to then say, look, I haven't found beef, what do you think about chicken? Well, then why is fish outside of that category? Fish also, sometimes a person will say, look, I didn't find meat, are you interested in fish? No, it's a day where he could not have meant fish, because it was a day of Hakaza Saddam, and on a day of Hakaza Saddam, apparently it was dangerous to eat fish. Well, if that's the case, that it's the day of Hakazas Adam, he shouldn't, or Lo Nechel, depending on the Girsa, people don't eat chicken that day either. They don't eat fowl that day either. Damar Shmuel, Damsoch Revachal Tzifra, a person went through Hakazas Adam of the shoulders, and then he eats bird meat. Parach libe kitzipra, his heart is going to flutter like a bird. Va'otanya, we have another brisa. Ein mekizin dam, lo al hadagim, v'lo al ofos, v'lo al basar maliach. You don't do hakazas adam if the only thing you have to strengthen you afterwards is fish meat or chicken meat or salted meat, because those things will not give you strength from the weakness that you suffer from that cause of Saddam. Ella Amar Rav Papa, so Rav Papa says, no, when the Tanakhama says that a person is Noder Mibasar, is Mutter Bedagim, even though the Shliach is Nimlach Aleihem, it's not considered to be in the category, even though a Shliach would go back and ask you about it. That's B'yom de Kiyavan Le'enei Askinan. We're talking about a day that his eyes are bothering him, Delo Achel Dagim, where no one really dug him on such a day, and therefore it's Mistaver that the Neder did not include Dagim. So Amar Lo Tein Lo Chaticha, we said in the Mishnah, if the Shliach tells the Mishnayach tells the Shliach, give one piece to each guest, and then the Shliach says, every guest could take two, and then each guest takes three, they're all in violation of Mi'ilah. Shmamino Mosav HaShlichuso Avi Shliach. You see from here that when you do more than you were told, that you're still considered to have fulfilled your Shlichus, but then added. It's not considered that's a total Shinoi. Adding is not a Shinoi. Amar Rav Sheshes, Amar Shliach Tol Achas Midaito V'Achas Mida'ati. It has to be that the Shliach makes it clear that one is Midas Balabais, that's my Shlichus, and the other one is me myself telling you to take it. But mal de tema akar shliach shlichus, I would have thought akar shliach shlichus de balabayis lo limol, that he has been totally uprooting the shlichus of the balabayis by changing the number, by going with a higher number, with a higher amount, kamash mulan, that it's not considered akira shlichus. Poskim discuss this when it comes to certain things where the number matters. Like they say, the minute to light two Neiro Shabbos, echa kenega zachar v'echa kenega shamur. So that which many people have a minute that they light many more, does that mean that they've been okay that minug, meaning, or they fulfill that minug plus? So some suggest, well, you should separate them, have two candlesticks plus, so you know, the extra candles, some, you know, separate from them as a way of still fulfilling it. And they connect it back to this sugi. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah.